You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
Very funny video. And, you know, watching something like that, I think, reminds all of us of just the amazingly huge load that mums take on. A job that no one would sign up to do if all the requirements and expectations were listed like that in a job description. On your feet all day, no breaks, working in chaos, a degree in medicine, psychology and finance, revolving around the associate. Now, who's the associate? I wasn't sure if that was the husband or the family. I don't know. All of it. Probably revolving around others, let's just say that. Increase in workload and during the holidays. And you could add more things to that list, I'm sure, if you wanted. And when I think of the reactions that those people gave, and that was a real, they thought it was a real interview. When you think of those reactions, what do they say? Inhumane and insane, a cruel, sick joke. Is that even legal? Which we laugh, but I'm sure that would be our reaction too if we were the ones sitting in that interview. But it raises an interesting thought, I think, because we would never expect anyone to work like that for a boss in a company for pay, and yet people everywhere rely and depend on mums doing that exact job every single day all around the world. And as I was thinking about that video, and as I was thinking about my own mum, my mother-in-law, and all of the mums that I know, there was one word that sort of came to mind that summarised and described mums, I think, everywhere, and that is the word servant. And I looked up the word servant and I had a few definitions. One of them said, a servant is one who is there to perform domestic duties, a devoted and helpful follower, a person in the service of another, and one who expresses submission or debt to another. And as Graham has been going through the book of Proverbs in church, I want to continue that this morning by looking at the wife and mother that is talked about in chapter 31 in Proverbs. Because when you read about this woman, this mother and wife, she really is the perfect example of someone who serves not only her family, but those around her as well. And she's not just an example for mums or for women or for mums, but she is an example for every single one of us, because regardless of our gender and regardless of the different roles that we have in life and our family situations, all of us have been called to serve one another. Mark 9:35 says, sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and servant of all. And if we are going to be followers of Jesus, then that makes us also servants. Servanthood is a trait of a follower, not a fan, because a fan might make a contribution, a one-off gift or a one-off act of service, but a follower lives a life of serving, and they're two very different things. And really, that's what mums do. They don't just make a one-off contribution, they don't just serve once off, but they live their lives serving their families and those around them. They live lives of coming last. And, you know, you think of the interviewer who talked about, well, you're allowed to have a break and you're allowed to eat, but only after the associate has eaten. And it's so true a lot of the time. And Jesus didn't come into the world to make a contribution, but he came to give his life as an offering, to give his life serving other people. In Mark chapter 10, just the next chapter after he's spoken to his disciples, he says this, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so not only do we have the example of Jesus as a servant, God's own son who came to serve, but we have this wonderful woman in Proverbs 31. And so I've picked out four characteristics, and she's got many more, but just I've picked out four today that she has that enables her to serve in such a Christ-like manner. And so the first thing the Proverbs woman has is that she is eager. Verse 13 in chapter 31 says she selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. Another version says that she has willing hands. Another version says that she works with her hands in delight. And when we serve, wherever and however that might be, we should be doing so with eagerness, willingness, and taking delight in it. Think of the joy that is brought to you when your mum serves you up a meal that she's taken delight in, that she has willingly and eagerly cooked for you to enjoy, as opposed to eating a meal that's been cooked because it's a chore. There's a difference. It makes a difference when someone serves you because they want to and not because they have to. And I think we've all been in restaurants and cafes and maybe even the supermarket at times when the waitress or the waiter or the checkout chick or whoever does not want to serve you. They are serving you, but they don't want to be serving you. They can't wait to get out of there and do something other than serving you. And I hope you know what I'm talking about. And it's not a nice feeling when you're on the receiving end of that, when you're on the receiving end of someone who's serving you at the supermarket or at a restaurant, but they don't really want to be serving you. And yet, think about this. It's in restaurants that we tip when the service is good, isn't it? If there's good service, even if there's average food, but if the service is good, if the waiter or waitress is eager and willing, if they're taking delight in their job, in their role, then that's when we're happy and that's when we're blessed. And last night we were at a restaurant for Mother's Day dinner. And it came to the end of the meal, and he'd already paid, and my dad had some money there. I said, "What's that for?" He said, "It's for a tip." And I said, "Well, that's a pretty big tip." And he's not a man that would give money away just easily. And I said, "Oh, you know, why so big?" He goes, "I like the waiter. He was nice. He brought us bread over and over again, and he was happy." And it was just funny that even last night, my dad wanted to tip because he was served with someone who was willing. And when I think of someone in the Bible who served willingly and eagerly, I always think of Ruth as someone who just took delight in serving her mother-in-law. And she loved it so much, or that she was so willing, that she actually moved cities and moved families to be with her. And I think of that amazing confession that she gives Naomi, where she says, "Well, don't urge me to leave you or forsake you. Where you're going, I'm going. And your God will be my God. And where you stay, I will stay. And that will be my home." And it's not a speech of obligation. She's not saying it because she has to be, or because she feels pressured to, or because it's expected of her. But she says it because she wants to, because she genuinely is willing to go with her mother-in-law and serve her. And that eagerness that Ruth has continues when they reach Bethlehem, and she goes out into the fields and she picks up grain behind the other servant girls. And she ends up getting a reputation in those fields very similar to the reputation that the woman in Proverbs has, and that is someone who works with eagerness. In Ruth chapter 2 verse 7, and this is someone speaking of Ruth, they say, "She went into the field and she's worked steadily from morning until now, except for a short rest in the shelter." And when you read the whole chapter 2 in Ruth, you can actually tell and you can actually feel her eagerness and willingness to be going out there and picking up the grain off the ground. And it's not a glamorous job, and it's not really necessarily a hard job, but she's willing to do it. She's eager to do it. She's taking delight in doing the simplest of things. And the Proverbs 31 woman in this verse, she's selecting wool, but she's doing it eagerly. And it doesn't matter what we're doing. It doesn't matter whether it's something small or something big, whether it's something of great importance or something that's not that important, whether it's something that requires skill or whether it's dead easy. In anything and everything that we do to serve others, let's do it with an eagerness and a willingness and doing it joyfully, because it makes a difference. Remember, a follower serves because they want to, and a fan serves because they have to. So that's the first thing. The second thing the Proverbs woman had was that she was active, not lazy. Verse 15 says, "She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls." I read this and I have a question for everyone. If the Proverbs woman is getting up when it's dark, if it's that early, what are her servant girls doing? Like, are they sleeping in? Do they not start work till 9 o'clock? Is it their day off? It kind of really threw me a bit. I was like, well, she's got servant girls. Why is she getting up? And maybe the servant girls are up with her And she just gets up with them. And I don't know the answer, and we're not told the answer. But isn't it interesting that even though she has these servant girls, she's up early and preparing and providing food for her family and her helpers. She is serving the servants. And when you think about it like that, it's pretty amazing because she's got people to help her run her home and her household, but that doesn't deter her from working hard. It doesn't stop her from being active and involved in the household duties. Just because she's got help doesn't give her an excuse for laziness. And my study Bible says of this verse that she is the opposite of the sluggard. And a sluggard is pretty much someone who is sluggish and lazy. And when you're lazy, you don't want to do anything for yourself, let alone for anyone else. And so if we're going to be effective servants, then we can't be lazy. We can't be sluggards. We've got to be active. And verse 27 goes on and says that she watches over the affairs of her household and she does not eat the bread of idleness. So I think this describes pretty much the director of operations role that video was talking about. You know, she's got the role of watching over everything that happens in her house, the domestic duties, her husband, her children, the helpers and the servants, the whole lot. She understands her role as overseer of everything, and in that role there is no room and time for idleness. And mothers are the least idle, least lazy people, I think, I know, because there is always something to do and they're always doing things. And it reminds me a little bit of Martha in the Bible. And it's a bit sad. I always feel a bit sorry for Martha because she gets a bit of a bad rap because she's with Mary and Jesus comes to their home and Martha's in the kitchen and she's busy doing all the preparations for Jesus and Mary's sitting there at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus says that Mary's chosen the better thing, as in Jesus loves that Mary's sitting there at his feet. But I read that story and I think that Martha, even though she hasn't chosen the better thing, it's her way of serving. It's her way of giving. And she's not being lazy and she's not being idle. And, you know, I think of Jesus and his 12 disciples. And he had 12 disciples, but he didn't slack off, get his sandals polished, while the 12 went about and did his work. He was active. He was involved. And so when we serve one another, we need to be active and we need to be doers. And the third thing that the Proverbs woman had was that she was gifted. In verse 19, it says, "In her hand, she holds the distaff and the grasps the spindle with her fingers." And so I read this and I think that one of the gifts, and she had many, one of the gifts that this woman had was the ability to sew. In verse 22, it talks about her making coverings for the bed. And in verse 24, it talks about her selling the linen garments that she's made in the market. And so she's obviously a very good sewer if she's selling her things. And I'm sure that she has many other gifts. But in all of the gifts that she has, she uses them to bless others. 1 Peter 4 verse 10 says, "Each of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms." You know, each of us have gifts and talents, and some of us have very unique gifts and talents, and some of us have similar gifts. But every single person, no matter who we are and how old we are and what background we come from, is gifted. Every single person possesses a gift and talent. And our mums, when we think of our mums, they have wonderful gifts. Some mums have the gift of good cooking. Some mums don't have that gift, but maybe they have the gift of good listening skills or good negotiation skills, or maybe some possess excellent ironing skills, as Steph does. Or maybe they've got, maybe they're really good at fixing things. They're a really practical person. And so our mums have got different gifts, and those gifts that they have are often used to serve and bless their families and those around them. And in the same way, the reason that we have gifts and talents is so that we can serve those around us. A gift, a present, is exactly that, a gift for someone else. You give a gift for someone else to be blessed. It's given to be enjoyed by the one receiving it. It's not for you. You give it for others. And one commentary that I read put it this way: When it talks about that verse in Peter. It says, the gifts of grace, whatever they may be, so we've all got different gifts, whatever they are talents entrusted to individual Christians for the good of the whole church. And I love that because each of us, and we've all got gifts, have been entrusted by God with our gift and talent, not for the good of ourselves, but for the good of the whole church, of the whole body, it says. And if you think of the amazing people that serve us every Sunday, those who have gifts of playing instruments and singing to bless us with worship, think of the helpers in creche and Sunday school who have the gift of patience and kindness and gentleness that look after your children so that you can enjoy church. Or you think of the wonderful gift of hospitality that enables us to enjoy tea and coffee and cordial and biscuits each week while we fellowship. We are blessed by the gifts people have when they are used for others. So whatever your gift is, you have been given it. You have been entrusted by God to serve others. And that's what Peter is telling us. Now, that doesn't have to be in church on a Sunday. In fact, we need people to serve outside of the church just as much as we need them inside. But I encourage you all, for those that maybe aren't involved in serving in some way, find out what your gift is and use it. Be involved to bless the body in the same way that our mums bless us with their wonderful gifts. And the last thing the Proverbs woman has is compassion. Verse 20, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hand to the needy. And this verse shows the compassionate side that mothers have, and it's something that this Proverbs woman is using to serve the community around her. And I read one commentary, and I'll just read it out about this verse. It says, she is not impelled by selfish greed to improve her means and enlarge her revenues. She is sympathizing and charitable. She puts forth her hand to raise and soothe the poor man, not being satisfied with dealing provisions only to him, but exercising the gentle ministries of a tender love. And I think that sums up mums just so perfectly. They don't serve out of a selfish desire to look good or to feel good or to say, well, look at me, I've done that. But serving out of a heart that is charitable and of love. And that's exactly what Galatians tells us in chapter 5. And I'll read the Amplified Version just because it says it so well. It says, for you, brethren, and that's us, we are, that's who we're talking to. For you were called to freedom. Only do not let your freedom be an incentive to your flesh and an opportunity or excuse for selfishness. But through love, you should serve one another. It was through the love of God that Christ served us, and it's through the love of Christ that we serve others. And I remember as I was reading this, I thought about a time when I was in high school. I was in year 12 and I had a friend who really had a horrible time at home with her mum, and she wasn't able to live there. And she had to go and live with her grandparents, but they couldn't take her to school. And so it was my mum, out of her compassion for this friend of mine, that picked her up and took her to school every day in year 12. And I hear so many stories like that of mums who, out of the compassion and love they have for others, are serving people. And although some of us may be more gifted in administering compassion than others, I actually believe that as followers of Jesus, as Christians, all of us should have compassion. Colossians says, put on then, as God's chosen people, as God has chosen us, we need to put on then compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience. And sometimes we need to put on compassion, like we put in our clothes every morning. It doesn't always come easily to everyone. It doesn't always flow naturally. But Colossians is telling us, well, that's no excuse. We have a choice. If we're going to be compassionate, we can put that on. It's out of compassion that so many people are compelled to serve. Think of Mother Teresa, who took compassion, and it was out of that compassion that she served those people in Calcutta. And when you read through the Gospels, several times it talks about Jesus being moved by compassion, meaning he didn't just have compassion and walk away, but his compassion moved him into action. It moved him into serving others. It moved him into healing people. And so we also need to allow ourselves to be moved by compassion when we're serving people. And so then we come to the end of the chapter, of Proverbs in chapter 31, and it's the end of the book of Proverbs. And after hearing about this amazing woman who was eager and willing and took delight in what she did, who was not lazy, but she was active, who was gifted with many gifts and used her gifts to bless others, and who had compassion and allowed that compassion to move her in serving her family and her community. And at the end of all that, this is what it says. This is the conclusion of the Proverbs 31 woman. And if I can get the worship team up now, that'd be great. So it says in verse 28, her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. And then verse 31 goes on and says, give her the reward that she has earned and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. And I guess that's what today, being Mother's Day, is really all about. It's about children and husbands and grandkids arising and calling the women in their lives blessed, giving mums and wives and sisters and grandmothers the praise they deserve for the way that they have served others. And so as we stand, and we're going to stand and worship now, so you can stand. As we stand and worship God this morning, let's remember the women in our lives and allow their example of serving to encourage us to be what Jesus has asked all of us as followers to be, and that is servants. So let's pray and then we're going to worship. Father, we just thank you so much for the amazing example that not only Jesus, you set for us to serve other people, but for the example that each of us have in our own lives of the different women, whether they're mothers or grandmothers or aunties or sisters or wives. We thank you for their example that they give us when it comes to serving others. And Father, we just pray that it would encourage and inspire us, all of us, no matter who we are, to do what you've asked us to do, to be the very last and to serve other people out of love, to use our gifts to serve you. And so, Father, this day we just pray that we would arise and call the women in our lives blessed, and we pray a special blessing on them even now in your wonderful name. Amen. Let's worship God this morning.